Part 4, Chapter 7, in which Harvey meets Gregor Samsa. Quote, "How in the name of heaven can man escape that defiling and disfigured shape the mirror of malicious eyes casts upon his eyes, until at last he thinks that shape must be his shape?" William Butler Yeats, poem, Dialogue of the Self and Soul. When the captain awoke the next morning, he found himself transformed into a gigantic insect. His first reaction was shock, then horror, then relief. "At least I'm not a lawyer," he thought. Instinctively, he crawled under a loose grill and into the sewer. The contrast with the brightness of the street left him temporarily blind, and when his sight began to adjust, he found himself face to face with two beady eyes. Without hesitation, he attacked. The fight that ensued, as the two roaches tousled on the ledge below the street, may well have been the most ferocious in history. Even the hurried pedestrians passing overhead could tell there was something extraordinary taking place in the shadows of the sewer. At one point, Harvey clamped his thorny forceps on the soft underbelly of his adversary, and the insect hissed and ran for cover. "Arrgh!" squeaked Harvey when the battle was won. The ledge he had conquered gave him a perfect view of the street, and he settled down to steel himself against the clamor of automobiles. "Arrgh!" he squeaked again, and pushed himself farther into the darkness. When the activity declined in the early afternoon, Harvey gathered his courage and ventured out. The street was strangely still as he probed above the grill, and he assured himself the people had all gone home for lunch. When he pulled his abdomen above ground and started down the street, he could feel the afternoon breeze tickle his face and antennae. He stopped when he discovered a discarded napkin from a neighboring pizzeria. Oh, dear reader, what joy the captain felt as he tore into the tissue, soaking his face and legs in oil! Is an ecstasy too sublime for this impoverished pen to express? But imagine, if you will, the greatest moment of gluttony in the course of your own gluttonous life, and you may begin to approximate the pleasure of our hero rolling in ecstasy with his napkin in the gutter of the street. But Harvey's revelry was cut short by the shadow of a woman's shoe. "Wow," said Harvey to himself on the airplane, "who would have thought that the existence of the universe might depend on a roach's ability to escape a Gucci heel?" As Harvey scurried out of its reach, the woman let out a scream. Harvey screamed in like and darted toward his sewer. But before he could disappear, she threw the stick of an ice cream she had been eating, and it caught him in the side. For a moment he was stuck, his hind parts above the grill, but then the heel returned and propelled him back to his ledge. As the days passed, Harvey came to love his bed of slime. The rains of winter had begun, and though they slapped mercilessly against his shivering shell, they brought a veritable feast of debris. Of course, he had to keep a vigil against other roaches who might covet his spot, but he was much bigger than his adversaries, and they were easily chased away. When the lights in the airplane cabin were turned off for the movie, Harvey, inspired by the story he was reading, crawled from his seat and onto the floor. He moved with amazing agility, darting in and out of the luggage beneath the seats, and when he finally returned to his place, the woman in front of him was screaming at the attendant. "I tell you, I saw a cockroach." "A cockroach?" said the attendant. "It was just horrible. It must have been 6 feet long." Harvey turned on his overhead light, reopened the manuscript, and continued to read. Watching from his ledge beneath the grill, the story of the street was entertaining, even if it was often the same. Every dawn brought a chaos of voices and vehicles, and shoes that clicked on the pavement and reminded Harvey not to venture out. But with evening came a different feel. Then the voices were clearer, and often bitter and alone. One night he heard the groans of a man at anguish with himself, remorseful after deeds done. Another time he heard the lament of a mother who had been misused by her son. And another night Harvey was shaken by the sobs of a wife who did not love her husband. He heard the vulgar and insecure boasts of the seducers of young women, the ranklings of jealousy attempted to be hid, and the slights and degradations cast by the arrogant upon the poor. Meanness, agony, and sorrow without end, he heard and saw and was silent. With time his thoughts turned inward, and, peering out from beneath the grill, he would laugh a hideous laugh.
You are repulsed by this stinking soul, this fatal brew of doubts and contempt? You loathe to enter for fear of facing this pitiful pool of a man? Ha! I hiss and spit on your scorn. I show disgust in like for you. Proud man, his glassy essence, dressed in brief authority, ignorant of what he's most assured, an angry ape playing tricks before high heaven. An intelligent man ought to be a characterless creature, not a man of action, but hyper-conscious, scarcely a man at all. And you, dear reader, you are surprised? I am not the hero I appeared to be, but a vermin instead, a scoundrel that spits bile from his stinking cyst of pitch. Ha! And so it is that solitude makes a sinner of us all. I'm happy you see me now, pleased to soil you with my moans. Don't put down the page. You'll have a nastier flourish in a moment. And my past? The great and grandiose adventures of this matchless mariner of the seas? Ha! I invented adventures out of the nothingness I am, out of spite and jealousy and fear. I invented a life so as to live in at least some way. Once, in fact, maybe twice, I even fell in love. And I suffered, I assure you, though there was an air of mockery. I was beside myself, dear reader, out of boredom. And now? To act now? To step off the page and stride toward some real time and place? Toward some life I could touch and could hold? No, it is impossible to act without a mind at ease. For what action is worthy? What fundamental truth could steal me from my sorrow and reset the players on the stage? What one decision, for which there are not 100 indecisions and 100 visions and revisions before the taking of toast and tea? But, arg, I plagiarize, reckless and without shame, for that is my lot. Arg! If only I had ever done one thing myself, so that when the question was asked, "Who are you?" I could say, "I am a carpenter. I am a poet. I am a loafer who lies on the couch." It would mean I was defined, that there was something to be said about me, for even a loafer is something. Arg! The whole work of a man is no more than proving he is a man and not a vermin in the dark. Arg, dear reader, be absolute for death, for life is a thing only fools keep, an unmarked breath, a target to the pains that hourly afflict. And we are but death's fool. Running away, we run toward him still. We are not noble, or valiant, or wise. We are not even ourselves, existing on 1,000 grains of dust, fearing the tender fork of the worm. Happy? Ha! What we do not have, we stubbornly strive to get, forgetting what we do have. Certain? Ha! What we know teaches us that we know not. Rich? Ha! If we are rich, we are poor, and like an ass whose back bows under the load he bears, we carry our riches but an instant, and death unloads us.
All our youth is spent in securing the comforts of dear old age. And then, when we are old and rich, we have neither heat, nor beauty, nor limb to enjoy them. Yet, though in this life lie a thousand more deaths hid, it is death we fear, and that makes all odds even. But I bore you, for a novel needs a hero, not the traits of the anti-hero expressly gathered here. It produces such an unpleasant impression. For we are all cockroaches and cripples, every one of us, more or less. It was a holiday, and Harvey sat on his ledge and gazed at the street. As he watched the feet of the people hurrying through the cold, he imagined their clean, well-lit homes, and it made him sick. After a while, the street was empty, except for the wind where the voices had been. Then he saw him, a big black spider. "A friend!" cried the captain in insect tones. "A friend!" The spider saw Harvey and quickened his pace. He recognized a kindred spirit, cold and alone, and he thought he saw a smile in his eyes. "Quick!" called the captain, and a surge of emotion burst through his limbs. His friend was almost with him. He was halfway across the street. Harvey could already feel the embrace of his 8 hairy legs and the beat of his little spider heart. He was a yard away, a foot, an inch. His leg was on the grill. Harvey reached to embrace it, to brush against its hair. Splat! An enormous foot dropped from the night and landed on the spider, and Harvey recoiled in shock. Severed from its body, his friend's head and legs hung dangling from the grill. Locked in the lifeless gaze of the arachnid, the captain hated his life.